Lord, we want to bring this day to a close, Lord. Just thankful for what you've shown us, Lord, and challenged us, Lord, and pray that we'd walk away, Lord, filled afresh, Lord, ready to live for you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we offer this time to you once more, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never fail, oh God. True are your promises. True are your promises. You never change. You never fail, oh God. So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was and is to come. So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was and is to come.
Wide is your love.
Wide is your love and grace. Wide is your love and grace. You never change. You never fail, oh God.
Wide is your love.
Wide is your love and grace. Wide is your love and grace. You never change. You never fail, oh God.
So we raise
up holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was and is to come. So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One, who was and is to come. Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of these ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine, and out of these ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender, I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save, He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for us sake became born. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your sacrifice, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you will do, Lord. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. You can have a seat.
Once. Press it once. The instructions were so simple. Praise the Lord. Man, I got to tell you, I don't know, when the Holy Spirit put the plan together, I don't know, it's powerful. I'm blessed to be here today. Thanks for coming to listen and just to be together, you know, as men, to get together, to think that we need to get together to be renewed, to be before the Lord, you know, and to just ask His blessing upon our lives, to fill us and just prepare us to go back out. I mean, I really appreciate the way Pastor Fred opened it up about the fact that we've come here to be renewed, but we want that to be a lasting renewal, right? So we want to think about that, and you know. As I began to pray about the theme, you know, and look around at the scriptures, looking at the passage in Isaiah, and thinking about what renewal really meant, and I thought about being strengthened, being renewed, being strengthened, right? And I looked at those things, and to me, strengthened kind of was more of a physical thing, and renewal was more of a spiritual thing. But what I realize is as you start to study and think about it, they go together. They go together, right? And that's what Paul was talking about. Yeah, our bodies are wearing out. We're getting tired. You know, we're getting older, right? But our spirit is renewed day by day. The inner man, right? So as I prayed, began to pore over Isaiah chapter 40 to get the context, because we're Calvary Chapel. That's what we do. We look at the context. And this turning point, and I believe that's what I think Keith brought that out right at the beginning. That's turning point in the prophecy of Isaiah as he was, you know, talking to Hezekiah about the mistake he made inviting the Babylonians. Hey, see all my cool stuff. You can take all this stuff later if you want to, right? And he came up later, and the Lord put upon his heart to begin chapter 40 with, comfort ye, my people, saith your God, right? And he goes on to talk about, really, when we look at verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We're reminded of John the Baptist saying that that's who he was, the forerunner to Jesus Christ. Right? And we have some prophetic view of Jesus Christ in these first 11 verses. And I thought how important that was in... As it talks about Jesus coming, it says in verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall greatly lead those that are with young. And really giving us an idea of the coming Messiah. Well, for the Jew, and for us looking back, we see that that was prophetic of the coming of Jesus Christ. The one who would bring not only physical strengthening, but spiritual renewal. Right? Because you see down in verse 28, it says, hast thou not known? After going through all these things, talking about how the Lord is amazingly eternal, amazingly powerful, and a God that can do all things, have you not known, and have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and them that have no might, he increases in strength. And you know, powerfully enough, Fred teaching about the waiting on the Lord, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, that they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And for what purpose is that? And it continues, it flows so nicely into our second section, right? Into the New Testament portion of our theme today. Remember what Paul was giving his exhortation for, because he was talking to them in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. He was talking to them in chapter 3 about really the New Testament. The New Testament that was the grace of God versus the letter of the law, which could not save, right? And so he begins chapter 4 with, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry do we have? What ministry do we all have? The ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the ministry that we have? That is really the ministry. And it's made up of a lot of, you know, para-ministries. You know, the food ministry, you know, the clothing ministry, the parking lot ministry, whatever, you know, the ministries that we have around the church serve the body of Christ. But it's all for the furtherance of the gospel, because our job as ministers is to go out and to make disciples, right? But he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And he goes on. And he talks about all these things that are important. Dying to ourselves. Giving of ourselves for the gospel. Down in verse 13 he says, and we, having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. All right? So what he is talking about here is that even though we have that same spirit of faith, our bodies are wearing out, and our inner man needs to be built up and renewed day by day. And as I prayed about that, and I thought, well, where do we find that in the Scriptures? How do we actually do that? Right? How do we actually have our spirit built up day by day? And it was so profound the way that the Holy Spirit brought out the fact that we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be continually in prayer. I remember when I first got saved and I heard Paul say that we need to pray without ceasing. And I wondered what that looked like. But I'm coming up on 30 years walking with the Lord, and I kind of get an idea of what he was talking about. As we've lived through some perilous times, the last couple years have been very difficult. Some of us got sick. Some of us didn't get sick. Some of us had to shut down our churches. All the things that have divided our nation politically, spiritually, morally, all those things. Difficult times that we live in. And how do we walk through that without the Lord Jesus Christ, without having Him in our lives? So, if you don't mind, turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. And once again, teaching a bunch of Calvary Chapel guys, this is a familiar section of Scripture. But as I began to pray about renewal, I thought about, you know, what is it that renews us? We can be renewed over and over and over again, if we choose to, by abiding in Christ. And that's what John chapter 15 is. But this is a part of a great big exhortation of Jesus Christ to His men, after He just told them, I'm going to Jerusalem, and they're going to crucify me. And these guys, they were following Jesus around. They were a little freaked out by that. What are we going to do? What are we going to do once you're gone, Lord? What are we going to do? Right? Remember what he said over here in verse 14. Well, it starts off, let's just start at the beginning of verse 14 real quickly. And we'll get back to chapter 15. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So he's saying that's why I'm going. I said, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will come again and receive you unto myself. We're holding on to that today, aren't we? That's the blessed hope. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way you know. And aren't we glad that Thomas is going, I have a question. I don't know. I don't know the way. Right? He says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? One of the most powerful scriptures for the exclusivity of salvation through Jesus Christ is in the next verse, right? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man comes to the Father but by me, right? Pastor Scott blessed us with talking about the relationship we have with God the Father, how important that is, right? And how do we get there? Through that one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit is amazing. He ties this all together. Jesus said in John chapter 15 now, talking to his guys, how are you going to do this once I'm gone? He's going to say, first of all, I am the true vine. This is the seventh of one of the seven I am statements in John's gospel. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine. And that's important because the true vine, what he's saying is the vine was referred to so often as Israel in Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5 and Ezekiel 15, Israel is the vine. That sacrificial system that was made through the priesthood, right? That's what they depended on. I mean, you have to ask yourself, what are the Jews doing today? They don't have a temple, right? They don't have a way to offer sacrifices for the atonement. They don't have that right now. And it's interesting that after Jesus died in 70 AD, the temple was done away with. Why? There's no more need for any more sacrifice. Read the book of Hebrews. Jesus was crucified once and for all, right? But Jesus says here, I am the true vine. I'm the authentic vine. And my Father is the husbandman. The farmer, the guy that is going to take care of this plant, if you will, this living, growing vine, right? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Notice he says, every branch, very important, in me, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. He purges it. Oh, what does that mean? You know, if you're Calvary Chapel, you know what it means? Katharizo, which means to cleanse, or, you know, to make it clean, to clean it up. Anybody who is a farmer, I live in Ontario. The church that I'm at is in Walcott. I live in apple country. Now, there's some place you don't want to be on a stormy, rainy night on October 31st, and that is in an apple orchard, okay? Those trees are eerie looking. Right? Have you ever noticed an apple tree? Big, fat trunk going up, and all these little branches going out like this. Well, why did they do that? They cut them down so that these branches, the low branches, the very few low branches, are going to get all the nutrients and make those nice big apples that you buy at wherever you buy your apples. Right? The point is, the things in our lives that take away the energy that we have to do the things that God would have us do, to cause us to bear fruit, which is what he's talking about here, God will take away. If we are abiding in Christ, says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Notice that it may bring forth more fruit. And now he goes on and he kind of starts to elaborate on it. He says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So he's not saying that we're not clean enough to be with him in heaven. We are clean. But just like when Jesus went around to wash the disciples' feet, Peter said, are you going to wash my feet, Lord? No, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, whoa, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Right? So Peter said, well then, you know, give me a bath then. Wash all of me. And he said, no, you're already clean by the word that I've spoken unto you. That's the same thing he's saying here. But we still need that purging, that clipping away. So we have to look at our lives and say, okay, where are these things that are keeping us from bearing the maximum amount of fruit that the Lord would have us to bear? Right? I touched upon it a little bit here and there throughout the day today. But you have to look at the things of your life. I mean, are you addicted to your cell phone? Okay? There's a lot of things you can be addicted to on the cell phone. I mean, how many people at church call themselves gamers? And that's a weird thing for me. I know grown men that say, I'm a gamer. It's like, really? How old are you? How many things take up our time? I mean, do we like watching TV? I like to settle down sometimes and deaden my mind and watch something stupid. I do. It's a way to just shut off for a little while. But I have to say, my time is better spent sitting down with my Bible or a book written by a Christian author that's going to make me think about the things of God. I know that my time is better spent that way. I don't let that dominate my spare time. But what is it? I think somebody mentioned golf or something like that. I mean, there are some guys that golf, and they really golf. Of course, if you golf, you have to golf a lot. Otherwise, you stink. So, I understand that. But that's not the point. The point is Jesus wants all of you, because the point is that you bear fruit. Okay? We're in the spring right now, and this is a perfect time for this message. You want to talk about renewing? You look around, you see renewing happening. Right? Your trees that grow around your house or around the church or around the neighborhood, they don't just grow and they're the same size they were last year. I don't know about you, trying to keep your yard in the spring is nuts. Everything's growing every which way. The trees get bigger, the bushes get bigger, everything gets taller, you know, and you have to get a ladder out to trim whatever you have to do. But there's that renewing and that growing, and that all goes together with it, because we can take it and put it right in here and look at the spiritual end of it. Because we want to grow in Christ, right? And we get that from abiding in the vine. And that word abide is a neat word, because it doesn't just mean to hang out with Jesus. No, it means to stay, to live there. When you abide somewhere, you live there. And you stay there. You know, we talked about somebody, I can't remember who mentioned Ukraine, right? Tragedy. But there, you know, what, I don't know how many millions of people are displaced right now. It was over 2 million just like last week, but every week it grows. I don't know what the number is. But the point is people had to leave their homes because they were bombing and destroying the places where they live. They had to get up and move. I mean, can you imagine that? Leaving all your things and just taking what you could carry and going across the border and starting a new life. I mean, I don't know about you, I have a home. I have all my stuff there. I'm used to it. Right? I came today. I brought my Bible, because don't go to any church that has a pastor without a Bible. Okay? And I brought my keys, I brought my wallet in case I needed something else, you know? My keys for my car, but that's it. I didn't bring everything I had with me, because I have a home, a place where I stay. A majority of the time, and because of COVID, you know, my tent-making job, I now remote for that. That's pretty cool. I'm home all the time. So if you call me on... I have a landline still. I'm so old-fashioned. If you call me at my house, I'm there. Why? Because I dwell there. I abide there. I stay there. That's where I stay. My wife will testify to that. Okay? But see, that's the point. Are we staying with the Lord always? Praying without ceasing, right? All these things is what is going to help us to bear fruit. Talk about renewing. Are you maybe thinking that you should be bearing more fruit in your life? Maybe you haven't thought about that. Maybe you're just content with the same old fruit. Well, I remember Pastor Fred talking about sanctification. And anybody knows that's been fellowshipping with the Lord for a while that you're justified initially when you accept Jesus Christ and your sins are washed away. And then begins that fun ride of sanctification. And we all know at the beginning, the Lord likes to strip away a lot of big things, a lot of things that show into your life. And all of a sudden, you're a weirdo to other people that used to know you as a heathen. And you become a Jesus freak. And then, little by little, He begins to prick at those little things in your life. The things that you do in private. I don't want to poke at that one, but there's things that we do in private that we know that the Lord doesn't appreciate. Right? He wants to purge those things. That you bear more fruit. Because the bearing of fruit is what draws people into the kingdom. Verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you. Simple, right? Abide in me, and I in you. But understand, it's a cause and effect kind of a thing, right? abide in me, and he will abide, and I will abide in you. That's the result of you abiding in him. He abides in you. He obliges. Right? So we abide in him. He says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch, notice, cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. So if we want to bear fruit and if we want to grow in Christ, we need to abide in Christ. If we want to be renewed day by day, the inner man, we need to abide in Christ. We need to live there. We need to dwell with him. He says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and resultingly, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And that's the funny thing, because if we're not abiding in Christ, we're really doing nothing for his kingdom. Sorry. That's what it says. You can do nothing without me, Jesus said. Now, I've been reading through Revelation. I'm going to start it in the church after Resurrection Day is done. I'm excited about that. But I was reading, right, in Ephesians chapter 2, the first church that Jesus addresses in Revelation chapter 2. And right, they had all this stuff going on. It said, you know, and you know, you deny things that are evil. Right? You kick out the apostles that aren't really apostles. And he said, and you labor without fainting. I say, well, what's up with that? Because this is about being renewed. Well, they're laboring without fainting, okay. But he said, I have one thing against you, right? That you've left your first love. And it didn't say you lost it. Oh, where is it? He said, you left it. Because they got caught up in the work. They still had that old fruit. They didn't have any new fruit. It was the same old fruit. Oh, I got to go to the church again. It's food distribution day. All those people are so stinky. Ugh. You know? And they did it. They were doing the work. But Jesus says here, without me you can do nothing. So if they had left their first love, then really they weren't doing anything that was really increasing the kingdom of God. They weren't bearing fruit. They weren't growing in Christ. Jesus had friends in Bethany, right? Lazarus, who he rose from the dead. Mary, Martha, right? And whenever he was coming through on the way to Jerusalem to go to the feast, he would just stop there and have dinner, you know? Who is it? Oh, it's Jesus. Whoa! Did somebody clean the bathroom? Right? You know? Jesus stopped in and he saw Mary and Martha. And you remember, Martha is going, oh, Jesus is here. I got to make a great dinner. She's in the kitchen and she's working on the dinner. And Mary, she's sitting at Jesus' feet and just looking up at him. And she's soaking it all in like a sponge. Right? And Martha yells over and says, Lord, can't you just tell Mary to come and help me? Can't you see I'm busy working on this meal for us? And the Lord just kind of said lovingly to Martha, you know what? You're really busied, and I think the word is cumbered in the King James, right? About many things. But Mary has chosen that better part, and this will not be taken away from her. And I said, wow, that is so amazing. My wife is such a blessing because the same point she has, she gets up in the morning and spends time with the Lord before she homeschooled my kids. Now, I graduated too, I still have one more. Come on, Odessa. You know, she's in 10th grade. Got two more years. She's about through with this year. Two more years of high school. That's fun. But you know, she says to me all the time, she goes, you know, I have no right to try to teach my kids anything until I've spent time with the Lord Right? It's the same principle here. It's the same principle with Mary and Martha. It's the same principle with what Jesus is telling us here, is that without abiding with Him, we can do nothing. We really have no right ministering in our own power. And then here it is, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Didn't we already hear that? That's what I'm saying about the Holy Spirit being involved with our day today. I don't know how many times, every time, I go to a conference and you see a theme developing. I mean, a lot of times I go to a pastor's conference and the pastors prayed and they said, you know what, we're not even going to develop a theme because the Holy Spirit will develop a theme. And the Holy Spirit develops a theme. But the theme of renewed is being played out. The Holy Spirit is letting us know that it's about asking and praying and speaking with Him, that we might hear what He has for us, and renewing ourselves by abiding in Him. Receiving from the Father through our relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ. I think I skipped verse 6, but maybe it was good because the Lord would have me to come back to it. Verse 6 says, if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Why? No fruit. It's springtime right now, right? And we're going to clean up our yards and stuff, and you rake up all the dead stuff that fell in the fall, and you're going, come on, snow, I don't want to rake again. Right? That's what I do. The snow covers it, and you don't see it for a few months, and it's all good. And then the snow melts, and you're like, oh, there's those sticks I didn't rake up. But you rake them up, and I live in a place where I can build a fire in my backyard and burn that stuff. And I do that. But I'm not clipping off all the live branches off the trees with the buds on them and throwing them in the fire. No, because they're going to bear fruit. Right? The little bud comes out, and then the flower. And then it bears fruit, right? If it's a fruit tree, right? The point is that when you abide in Christ, right? And you bear much fruit, well, what happens? You blossom as a Christian. You grow. Those extra branches come out. Buds on them. Flowers bloom. And guess what? A sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord you become. Think about that for a minute. I mean, you know, the vine, the branches, we know this one. But think about what really happens there with the flower. The flower comes first. And that flower is so sweet. Most of the time. I mean, a lot of the flowers, they smell wonderful. The spring is a great time. But then what comes after that is the bearing of fruit. Right? We bear fruit unto the Lord. So this abiding in Christ is what causes that to happen, to the extent that we would bear much fruit, as Jesus says to us here. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We need to abide in Jesus Christ, right? So that we can bear much fruit. Because it pleases the Father when we do. But now, this seems challenging, maybe. And maybe you're saying, okay, well, this is about renewal, but you're really kind of breaking us down a little bit here with the purging and all that stuff. I see the renewal comes because Jesus says this in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. He's relaying the Father's love to us through Himself, through this relationship that we have with Him, because that's what the Christian walk truly is about, is relationship with Jesus Christ. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. And remember, the Father said about Jesus that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And He says that about you and me. These are my beloved kids whom I am well pleased, my beloved sons. And then He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Keep my commandments and abide in my love. What does that do for us? Well, if you want to just turn a page back, I think it's a page back on my Bible, into chapter 14, I want to just read to you something that connects us together. Remember what Jesus just said, right? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Verse 12 in chapter 14 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. You see how he's connecting all this together? If you love me, keep my commandments. But notice what he says. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit, is what he's talking about there. Okay? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But notice, once again, if we abide in Jesus Christ, if we're spending time with Him, right? We're growing. We're beginning to bear fruit. We're asking from Him the things that will help us to bear fruit, because that's what's going to happen if you're spending time with Jesus. When you pray and you ask Him for something, it's going to be something that is going to benefit His kingdom and the fruit that you're bearing for His kingdom. So once again, ASK, right? Ask, seek, and knock, right? It's the same thing. Ask, and He says, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Maybe you need renewal. You can ask for that, right? Ask for holiness. Ask for strength. Ask for strength to be a witness. Ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, please. See, because that's where this is leading. And that's what I was going to say when Scott read that verse. I'm like, this is perfect, because that's where I was going with this. Because he said he'll give you anything you ask for. And the first thing that all of us, any of us, should ask for is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because that's where we get the power over our flesh. Because when you're serving in the flesh, like in Ephesians chapter 2, your flesh is going to rise up and it's going to get tired, and it's going to get tired of what you're doing. It's going to get you're going to get tired of being tolerant. And I know that's a buzzword, but you understand what I mean. Because we're ministering to the heathen to draw them into the kingdom. So it's difficult, and it is tiring. You know, people ask me all the time, Jeff, how's it going? I go, man, I'm tired. I get tired. I don't get tired of. I just get tired. Why? Because my outward man is perishing, but my inward man is renewed day by day. Because I think about Jesus all day long. I have a day job that I have to do to pay my bills. I have troubles that I can't figure out. I'm like, Lord, help me with this. Help me figure this out. And there hasn't been a time that I prayed that He hasn't helped me figure it out in one way or another. Right? I loved it. Scott goes, and the phone call comes. I get phone calls. I'm working at my job, and I get a phone call from somebody at the church, and I have my cell phone right there with me. And my wife, God bless her, you know. She means well, but she goes, well, Jeff, you can't let people get the idea that you'll just answer the phone during your work day. I can't not answer it if it's somebody from the church calling me. I can't go, oh, your spiritual needs are on hold. Call me later, you know. I answer the phone, you know. And, you know, my wife loves the Lord. She loves the people. And that's not her point. She's like, you know, she doesn't want people calling me flippantly. But when people call me, they don't call me flippantly. They're crying on the other end of the phone, or somebody just died, you know. You got to take that call. And I've had people at their church say, Pastor, can you talk with me? Can we go to someplace private? I'm like, me, I start to pray right away. Oh, Lord, fill me with your spirit. I don't know what's coming, but it can't be good if they're saying, let's meet in private, right? But it needs to be that dwelling with Jesus Christ, abiding, staying with Him throughout our days, right? But notice in verse 11, which is beautiful, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. Because it's not grievous to abide in Jesus Christ. Now, the enemy has a way of making it grievous to us, especially in the morning and when it's cold and you got to get out from under the covers, you know. Maybe you're up a little too late the night before, doing something that needs to be purged maybe, who knows. But the point is, it isn't grievous. And you know, I've been at the church in Walcott. This is my 13th year there. And I'm just going to be wide open with you guys. There are times when I have to begin to prepare for a study again, right? And I'm tired. And I'm just like, I don't feel like it. But never fails that when I begin to open the Scriptures and study, my eyes pop open. I'm reading it. I'm getting excited. And by the time I'm done, I'm so excited about the Word of God that I can't wait to bring it to the people, right? And that's how it is. You spend time with the Lord. You open your Bible in the morning. If you force yourself to do it, you begin to read. And the next thing you know, you're going to be excited about what you're reading because you know it's all true. This is just really no time to not guard our devotion to Jesus Christ. I tell my kids that. I have two adult children, and my little girl Hadassah is going to be 17. So my kids are older. They're responsible for their own walk with the Lord. And we encourage them in every way possible, trust me. Right? But they're responsible for their own relationship with Christ. And one of the things I often tell them, and she does, my wife does too, is you need to guard your devotion to Jesus Christ because we have a world around us that's pulling them and us away. Right? The little square, the little rectangular thing in your pocket will pull you away from your walk with Jesus Christ if you allow it. The TV, the computer, this crazy media, tablets, you know, the whole nine yards. You have a world full of political unrest. And boy, you can get caught up in that so easy. Right? So many things. But He said, I have spoken these things unto you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy might be full. Because that's what comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I've been on staff at a church. I've, you know, worked with Christian ministries. And one of the things you learn about those safe places, right, is that they're filled with sinners just like you, right? And how hard is it to always love the brethren? But that's what we're marked by, because Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And how did he do that? He died for us, didn't he? Part of what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 was we always go around dying to ourselves, dying in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a certain dying to self that comes with walking with Christ. I was talking with Noah Jinta, you know. They're going to have a baby. I said, how's married life going? He goes, well, it's different. Yeah. Right? God's got a plan. It's funny, right? But God has a plan, right? About getting married. See, when I was a young guy, okay, I didn't know the Lord then when I was young. I was all about me, right? Leaving a wake of destruction. I did whatever I wanted to do. I'm going to talk about in 2000 when I was married in the Lord. You realize that it's not about you anymore, because you have a wife there that has something to say about whether or not you're going to go out golfing today. She had other plans. We're going to go shopping together today. Oh, really? That's exciting. The point is, it's a level of dying to self that you knew not prior to that. And then the children are involved, right? You start having babies, right? When they're little, they know nothing of, okay, let me see what daddy's doing before I start to cry out for what I need. No, that's not the case, right? The Lord brings us to that place of dying to self. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He gives us the example. Jesus always did what was best for those around him, not what was best for himself. It's difficult, right? But it comes from the fruit of abiding in Christ. You see, I want to keep bringing you back to that, because that's where you are able to do these things, right? Asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit, because we need that power to overcome our flesh. Our flesh is needy. Right? You get up in the morning, you take care of that flesh, don't you? And we're thankful that you do. This is my commandment, that you have loved one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Right? You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, notice, from this point forward, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I've called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. I've called you friends. And that's important to understand, that when we abide in Christ and we are coming to him as a friend, and we speak to him like that. I think a lot of people shy away from coming to God and praying because they think they have to have some kind of prayer laid out. They need to know King James English to pray. I have a guy that's been coming around for a little while. We got, you know, Jason at the church, that young guy who got caught up in drugs and alcohol and, you know, went arrested for a while. Now he's in the program and he's coming around to the church. Got out of rehab. He calls me from time to time. But every time he calls me, he gets an earful about when he's going to give his life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know the program isn't 12 steps, it's one, right? Come to Jesus Christ and you can be healed. I talk to him all about that. And he's kind of enthralled with it, because I get excited every time he talks to me. He gets excited because I share with him that I used to be where he is. He's going, but you pastored the church. I'm like, yeah, okay. I said, it doesn't mean he's going to make you a pastor. I said, but he will change your life, and you're going to be a new creation, and you're going to leave that old life behind. But you have to let him do it. And I said, you have to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. I said, I'll tell you how I began in that, is that I prayed to the Lord in the morning that He would help me to stay away from those things that didn't honor Him. And for me, it was drinking and using drugs and having sex with women that I wasn't married to. And then at the end of the day, for whatever happened, whether I fell into sin that day or whether I walked into sin that day, that I thanked Him for walking with me through it. I asked for forgiveness every day because I needed it. And I asked Him to bless my rest so that I could get up and do it again tomorrow and try to walk with Him. And that's the beauty of Christianity. Okay, talk about being renewed. For us as Christians, renewal can be as simple as turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, forgive me, Lord. Repentance should be a daily event in the life of the Christian. Why? Because we know that that's what it takes to keep our relationship sharp with Him and to abide in Christ. Our relationship with Him doesn't change on His end when we sin. It changes on our end. And I think we don't realize that. So when we're in sin, right, we don't tend to want to come to the Lord. Because like Pastor Scott said, I think sometimes we think about Him wrong. We think about maybe He can't, you know, love us that way. But anyway, he called us friends. And in verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. And these things I command you, that you love one another. So He has chosen us, He's ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit. As we abide in Christ, these things will happen. We will bear fruit for Christ. That we might have that fellowship with Him, right? That our fruit should remain because of that fellowship with Him. And now we're going to partake in communion together. We're going to continue in that fellowship. So I'm going to have the ushers come forth, the worship team come up. And we're going to do this because I just looked at the clock and I realized I went over. But I get it from Fred. He did it first. Yeah. I'm sorry, I got on a roll with this, but I was so excited about it, how the Holy Spirit put this all together. And when Scott got done early, I figured He gave me extra time, but these guys worshiped before. See, I know the blame game. But here's the thing. I wanted to look at this section of Scripture. Flip your Bibles over to Luke 22. Let me get going with this. Luke 22 and verse 7. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John, saying, go prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto Him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And He said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber, and where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as He had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, He sat down, and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He desired that communion with us. And so, take a moment and examine yourselves like the Scriptures say while we listen to this worship music. And consider those things. Go ahead.
Came sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so
said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. When he died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. When his body was broken and his blood was shed, the veil was torn. That separation that Pastor Scott talked about was taken away. We have direct access to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And we do have responsibility in us to abide with Him, to come to Him. Because it's the Father's good pleasure that we have fruit to bear, much fruit. And that fruit comes from that relationship with Him. And this time that we spend in fellowship with Him, that communion that we have with Him when we do this, and we think about why we can have that relationship with Christ because of His broken body, His shed blood, the forgiveness of sins because the sacrifice was accepted. And how do we know that? Because on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus rose from the grave. He walked out of the tomb proving to us that the sacrifice was accepted and giving to us eternal life through that relationship with Him. Jesus said, "For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread And he gave thanks. He broke it. And he gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake. Likewise also, the cup after supper. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. That New Testament, the covenant of everlasting life for you and I. Let's partake together. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the day that you've given us today. And it's evident that you walked amongst us today. Lord, your Holy Spirit led this men's day. And I pray that everyone that heard from you here today would walk out of here today renewed and refreshed, bearing fruit and willing to bear more fruit, Lord, that we might have that everlasting renewal. Because you are an everlasting God. You have given that sacrifice once and for all. No other sacrifice is needed. We are blessed because of your shed blood, because of your broken body, Lord. We have been given eternal life. You have taken away the wall of separation, Lord, the veil that kept us from you, Father. And we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, and we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, who has been with us today and who will go with us into the rest of our week, into our places where we gather tomorrow on the Lord's Day. And Lord, into our week beyond that, Lord. And may we continue to bear fruit in your name. Amen.
Would you stand one more time? Sing one last song.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. I heard the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Hallelujah. God bless you all.